We're going to do a little joint effort this morning. So let's see how we get on. We haven't rehearsed this, so we'll see how it works together. And as I thought about this, I thought, who are we? And do we attend church like going to the gym? You know, we do our bit and hope that it benefits us. You know, when we go to the gym, we go and do a little workout and then we hope, oh yes, that does us good. Or do we attend, go to church when we feel like it? You know, I feel like going to the gym, I'm just going to church. Or is church a social club that we go to once a week? Or if we don't fancy, we don't go. You know, what is church to us? And does this social club or gym make any difference to us? Are we the same as all around us? You know, we come here to this social club, to this gym. Are we any different to all the people out and about? Is there any difference at all to us? And just stick with me. You might know what I'm talking about. Well, I've made up a few scenarios here, yeah? Now, these are made up, so don't let them shock you too much. And but I want you to think about them. What would you think and what would others think about these situations? So imagine now I'm in Morrison's and I'm dressed like this. And this jacket, I've got my jacket on. I've just had to pop up the shops. I might have this T-shirt on with Broadfield Christian Fellowship. And I receive the wrong change. What do? I start shouting at the cashier and really having a go at her. What's more, maybe I get really annoyed and I start shouting and swearing at the cashier. And I got my top on. Now you're all shaking your heads. Now, you think that's a ridiculous thing, you know. But you do see people behave like that, don't we? We do see people out and about. I mean, I was up on just the Barton yesterday, and I heard someone shouting right the length of the Barton at someone else and using sort of savoury language, shall we say. So it happens. Am I any different? Should I use that kind of language? And should I behave in that aggressive... Was it right? You're judging this one, yeah? That's one scenario. Just as in Proverbs, it says, a fool shows his annoyance at once. React very quickly. That's one scenario. I'll give you another one. This is a kind of, okay. You hear me talking to someone. They ask, how was Christmas? I say, oh, fine. If I wasn't drunk, I was stoned. Except for Christmas Day when I went to church. See, am I any different to any of the people around me? These are just made up scenarios, but, you know, we might laugh. While I'm talking to these men, a woman walks by. I say, oh, she's hot. I wouldn't mind some of that. You laugh, but this is the way people carry on, don't they? I didn't want to go into too much detail there. But believe me that some men, that conversation would go downhill very quickly. It would start with, she's hot, and I won't tell you where it'll finish. And I've kind of restrained myself on that, just for the sake of our company here. But is that the kind of way, you know, I would behave? it says, the heart of fools blurts out folly. Well, I don't know if that's, you know. These are just some different scenarios. But I want us to think about what's going on in these scenarios, because I've tried to make them public scenarios as well, if you see. This is another one now. Wednesday morning. We are all at the coffee shop and Viv drops the coffee pot. I say, you didn't need to do that, you clumsy so-and-so. And before long, we have set into each other, shouting at each other in the coffee shop. Yeah?
No.
I'm glad you're responding. But this is how some scenarios would work out. They would work out, you know, Viv would drop the pot, we'd end up having a big yelling match in front of everyone. Is that the way we should carry on? And I'm just thinking, you, there is a point to all this. In Proverbs it says, every fool is quick to quarrel. These are just a few scenarios, but we're leading to something, hopefully. I've still got two more yet. Okay. Two more. We're on the Barton as a church. And we were up on the Barton as a church singing. Some of us had our jackets on. We've got our banner. We're up the shop singing. And something happens. Now, actually, something did happen. Someone was throwing biscuits at us. Now then, our response. We start shouting at the person. And then we start arguing amongst ourselves. And it gets into a big arguing, shouting match on the Barton. And instead of us being up there singing, we're all yelling and shouting at each other and people are walking by looking. No, that didn't happen, by the way, but I'm just giving you some scenarios.
It came dangerously close, I would say.
Scenarios of what we can show, yeah? But I want you to think about what could go on. Because in a way, that's what does happen. We do see things like this happening in the world. You know, you do see things turning into all this kind of behavior. Last one, yeah? I find myself, this is Dave here, in a situation where an attractive person starts to tell me that she is in a broken relationship and she is feeling very down. I respond by saying something very similar, saying, yeah, I'm in a broken relationship and I'm feeling down and maybe we should meet up a bit more often. You see the scenario? This is what does happen in the world. Now, that last one, I put in on purpose. I put all these in on purpose, actually. Because I wanted there to be, that was a lie on the last one, because we've got a very good relationship. And the lie there is to deceive and to get a relationship that is deceptive going, yeah? Now there's purpose to all this. And in Proverbs it says, the Lord hates a heart that devises wicked schemes. Feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies. It's actually bigger than that. And these scenarios are some of them are public and some of them are about deception, right? And some of them about our response. And why I bought those is because we want to look at Facebook and various other things possibly. And the way we present ourselves and what we say, are we any different to those scenarios that I've just done? Are we telling the truth? Are we causing upset? Are we arguing? Are we gaining acceptance by deceit? And so I'm going to pass on to Kevin, just because I don't know a lot about Facebook, to be honest. And I just made some scenarios in life that you'd probably all almost, you laugh at because they're almost shocking. But actually, I'm going to do a little bit on Facebook now.
Right. Morning, everybody. About a week ago, I think it was Viv first said, oh, you say something about Facebook and stuff next Sunday. Was it? Oh, I didn't know it was weeks ago. And so anyway, I've had a long time to prepare. So in true Gordon style, I thought I'll set the alarm for 6 o'clock on Sunday morning. This is one thing I need deliverance from, I think, my last minute-ness with absolutely everything. I've been like this since I was a little child, so if you fancy praying for my last minute-ness on everything. It's great. It's particularly good when you've got nocturnal children like we seem to have at the moment. I mean, both of them were up at, still up at 1 o'clock. It's just too much. But anyway, Rachel kindly let me go to bed about 12. So anyway. So I've just put the Facebook mask on this, and I'm just going to talk a bit about some of the things that Dave's been talking about and some of the things that I've encountered in the online world. You'll see there's a little Facebook symbol at the top left, and also at the bottom right for you real nerds, there's a Twitter symbol as well, which I might mention in passing. Well, I will mention in passing. So the thing is, Facebook doesn't really change what people actually are inside. It doesn't necessarily make people do things that they wouldn't otherwise have done, but it certainly makes it a lot easier to make these things a lot more obvious and a lot more public than they would have been in the past. And the thing about Facebook and similar online facilities is they can obviously be used for good or for bad. It can be an excellent communication tool, way of keeping touch with people, of finding people that you've maybe lost touch with. Think Friends Reunited started a similar sort of, well, it was that's they really sort of started that whole idea, and it's mushroomed into Facebook, which now has something ridiculous like 600 million people on it, which is getting on for a tenth of the world's population. And I can't know what the current percentages are in the UK, but it's well approaching 30-40%, that sort of percentages of people who are on Facebook. It's good for things like sharing photographs with friends and family. It's great. It's good fun posting photo albums and posting photographs of your holidays and your family and your new babies and all that sort of thing. And it's a very easy way to get that sort of information up there. There is a lot of good Christian content on there. You can sign up for daily Bible readings and things like that and encouragement. Fellowship's got a Facebook page, which I occasionally remember to post things on, particularly if something's happening that I just think people should know about. There are, within the fellowship, you know, a fair number of people who are on Facebook. I actually found yesterday this. I'll read this out. One of my Facebook friends posted something. Somebody who'll be known to some of you, Anne Rook. A few of you will remember Anne Rook, and it was an explanation for why one of the best explanations of why God allows pain and suffering that I have seen, and it reads as follows. A man went to a barber shop to have his hair cut and his beard trimmed. As the barber began to work, they began to have a good conversation. They talked about so many things and various subjects. When they eventually touched on the subject of God, the barber said, I don't believe that God exists. Why do you say that? Asked the customer. Well, you just have to go out in the street to realize that God doesn't exist. Tell me, if God exists, would there be so many sick people? Would there be abandoned children? If God existed, there would be neither suffering nor pain. I can't imagine a loving God who would allow all of these things. The customer thought for a moment, but didn't respond because he didn't want to start an argument. The barber finished his job and the customer left the shop. Just after he left the barbershop, he saw a man in the street with long, stringy, dirty hair and an untrimmed beard. He looked dirty and unkempt. The customer turned back and entered the barber shop again, and he said to the barber, "You know what? Barbers do not exist." "How can you say that?" asked the surprised barber. "I'm here, and I am a barber, and I just worked on you." "No," the customer exclaimed, "barbers don't exist, because if they did, there would be no people with dirty long hair and untrimmed beards like that man outside." "Ah, but barbers do exist. That's what happens when people do not come to me." "Exactly," affirmed the customer. "That's the point. God, too, does exist. That's what happens when people do not go to him and don't look for him for help. That's why there's so much pain and suffering in the world." I mean, that might be simplistic, but it's a message. And it was a little bit of encouragement I got off Facebook yesterday. This presenting different faces, I think that was something Dave said yesterday to me. Was that what Chris Orange had said at the leaders' conference or something? That's why. People can present different faces on Facebook to the face that they present otherwise, which was pretty much what Lou said a few minutes ago, I seem to remember. And again, that's nothing new, really. I mean, people have always done that. I think one of the most obvious ones I can think of is maybe the face you put on at work against the face that you put on at church with your Christian friends. And I do remember one person that I used to work occasionally with who was a Christian, and I mean he was known to be a Christian, but he did have this tendency to come into the office and tell the filthiest jokes you could possibly imagine. And I used to sit there thinking, this is very odd. I never quite kind of got my head around it as to what that was all about. I'd like to think it was something that I didn't indulge in myself at work. I can't say that I was jumping up and down, well, witnessing to everybody and preaching the gospel. I was trying to live as kind of honestly and uprightly as I could, and certainly not deny my faith, and hopefully make sure that my life at work was at least consistent with my life elsewhere. I do remember quite a long time ago now, it was in 1999, in fact, I was getting my 20th anniversary award or something for the company I was working for, and the sort of senior manager of the place, Rachel was there, she might remember, did a little speech. And somewhat to my surprise, he kind of pretty much started off it by commenting on how important my faith was to me. And I was a little bit taken aback by this because I didn't even know that he'd noticed in the past. So, you know, obviously I must have been doing something right. Anyway, to move on, I think that when Facebook first started, it tended to be used on big computers that were attached to the internet in whatever way, on your desk and so on. Now there is an increasing tendency to access it from mobile phones. I mean, it's certainly more convenient. It's a lot. You can do it much more instantly. And I think people treat it as a kind of text messaging service, and they'll send a message, and rather than just send a text to somebody, they'll put a posting on, you know, their status or somebody's wall on Facebook, which is a lot more public than just sending a text message. And I think we need to sort of say, well, does anybody else actually need to know this? And what would the possible effect be of somebody else reading this, possibly commenting on it, and these things that start off fairly innocent can turn into something quite major. Fancy meeting me for a drink after work can turn into a massive invasion of a big party or whatever. And I mean, there've been well publicized cases of people advertising their private parties on Facebook and ending up with hundreds of people coming and trashing the house. Public slanging matches, it's very easy to sort of sink into the exchanging of insults and trading, having your arguments, even between partners, between man and wife. I've seen it happen on Facebook. These sort of things obviously should really be in between two people, but you end up knowing really far more than you ought to know about people's lives. So it's a bit like, I mean, you hear about people sort of text harassment, and people getting harassed by text messages. Well, this is a kind of progression from that, really. It's harassment's almost not the right word, but it can certainly have a very unsettling effect on people. Bringing church into disrepute was really what the sort of thing that Dave was actually saying, and that if you're kind of known to be a Christian and you're known to be a church member, then obviously what you actually post on something like Facebook can potentially bring the church into disrepute. Various problems can arise from the use of Facebook. I've got here addiction. You can just spend kind of all your waking life virtually and half your sleeping life, or what should be your sleeping life. It has some very addictive games on it, which I know that people tend to get sucked into, and it becomes the most important thing in their life as to get to the the next item in this game and to move to the next level and accumulate virtual wealth and so on. It steals time. It's really a kind of lifestyle thing, priorities. What is it actually that you, what do you want your life to be about? Do you want it to be about people? Do you want it to be about computers, virtual people? And I'm the worst person to talk about this sort of thing, because I'm a total computer geek, really, and put me in front of a computer and then put me in front of a group of people and there's a tendency for me to prefer the computer, as my wife will probably testify. I've got the rest of them, really. I've got down here careless talk, jobs, relationships, scams. I'll talk about those a bit later. Exaggeration and boasting is something which is very, very easy to do on something like on an online service, because there's very little comeback on it. You can pretty much say what you want. I've got just a few Bible references here, which we'll just go through quickly. Proverbs 10, liars secretly hoard hatred, fools openly spread slander, the more talk, the less truth, the wise measure their words. The speech of a good person is worth waiting for, the blabber of the wicked is worthless. The talk of a good person is rich fare for many, but chatterboxes die of an empty heart. Ephesians 4, don't use bad language. Say only what is good and helpful to those you are talking to and what will give them a blessing. There's an awful lot of bad language on Facebook. It's quite difficult to avoid, and it's not always from the people that you would expect it to be from. Ephesians 5:4, dirty stories, foul talk and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, remind each other of God's goodness and be thankful. Colossians 3, now is the time to cast off and throw away all these rotten garments of anger, hatred, cursing and dirty language. Don't tell lies to each other. It was your old life with all its wickedness that did that sort of thing. Now it is dead and gone. You are living a brand new kind of life that is continually learning more and more of what is right, and trying constantly to be more and more like Christ, who created this new life within you. Matthew 15, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. Jeremiah 9, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. For then him who boasts, boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice and righteousness on earth, for in these I delight. So that's talking about boasting and exaggeration, really, that one. Careless talk. It's very easy to post on Facebook all the intricate details of your travel arrangements and holiday arrangements and so on. We're going on holiday, otherwise please come and burgle us. There are various privacy settings on Facebook which limit who can actually see what, but Facebook does have a tendency to encourage you to make things as public as possible, and you actually have to go in and make sure that they're not that public. And it's quite possible to set it up so that everybody anywhere in the world, even regardless of whether they're a Facebook member, can see everything you post. So you've got to be careful. And there are also these various check-in and places services which you kind of track you wherever you are with. If you've got your mobile phone, you can say, I'm here, I'm blah, 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 blah. And I see quite a lot of that. I don't do it myself, but it is mildly tempting to have this online record of your every, you know, your every move, but you do have to kind of ask why. But the criminals are kind of getting, you know, they use all these things now. They know they know that that's where to find information like that, and they can trawl for things like that. I even read the other day that there are even people that monitor wireless networks, your wireless router and so on, to see whether it's broadcasting and monitor the kind of normal patterns. So if you normally leave it on overnight and then all of a sudden for 2 weeks it's off overnight because you've gone on holiday, then, oh, your wireless isn't broadcasting anymore. That house is probably empty. I shall burgle it. So there's all sorts of things you've got to be really careful about. Careless talk. There's infamous examples. The Twitter joke trial, as it's called. Twitter is probably fewer of you know about it, but it's to some extent a bit like Facebook was when it started, whereas it is purely a simple way of posting short messages, which can be read by anybody who cares to read them. It also has means of sending private messages as well, as does Facebook, but people have a tendency not to use the private message facility, but a tendency to make it public. But anyway, there was a famous example a year or two ago of a 27-year-old accountant who posted a Twitter status of saying that, I've bleeped out a couple of words here, but the airport's closed. You've got a week and a bit to get your act together. It didn't say act, but never mind. Otherwise, I'm blowing the airport sky high. That got picked up by some kind of routine scanning that was being done by the authorities, was taken very seriously, resulted in a criminal conviction, a £3,000 fine for threatening to blow up an airport. Did, of course, result in a very high-profile online campaign claiming that this was completely ridiculous and this was just a joke and that this shouldn't be taken as a reason to actually prosecute somebody and throw them in jail. And lots of people decided just to post similar messages themselves just to kind of see, you know, provoke a response. Maybe a little bit, I don't know about this one. The next one was more recent. There was a Birmingham councillor who'd been listening to somebody being interviewed on the radio and posted on Twitter, "Can somebody please stone this person to death? I shan't tell Amnesty if you don't. It would be a blessing, really." And it was a kind of a bit of a jokey comment in one level because, you know, she was from a country where they, you know, stone people to death or whatever for adultery and that sort of thing. And was, as far as he was concerned, telling him how to live his life. He was subsequently arrested. I'm not entirely sure what the outcome of that was, but he claimed it was a glib comment and apologised. But you've just got to be very, very careful, particularly in some unguarded moment, possibly under the influence of alcohol, that you don't post something which might get you into trouble. Criticising the boss or job, there are so many examples of this, it's just not true. Many people have lost their jobs as a result of Facebook postings. "I hate my job, the boss is a and always making me do and that, you know, resulted in a long response from the boss, which the gist of which was, "I'll pop your P45 in the post and you can come in and collect your stuff." Another example of a prison guard who bragged about smashing an inmate's face to the ground, and two more guards jumped in to voice their support, and all three of them, quite rightly you would think, lost their jobs. So again, you've really got to be careful. I don't know if I'm going to dwell on this, but relationships are very important on Facebook. One of the things that you do is you say what your relationship status is and whether you're single or married or in a relationship, or, you know, whether you're attracted to boys, girls, you know, wombats or whatever. And the top 10 relationship faux pas are apparently in descending or ascending order, whatever. Number 10, you change your relationship status too soon. So you say that you're in a relationship rather earlier than you should. Or you don't change it at all. In other words, you've been going steady with somebody, but you still say you're available. You hover at your partner's wall, as it says. In other words, you're kind of like an online stalker. You just sort of, every single comment that's made, you have to post some comment on. post lots of embarrassing photos of your partner, posting too much information about what goes on in private and your little romantic dates, latching onto your partner's friends on Facebook, you know, all of a sudden going and saying, putting in friend requests for all of your partner's friends and trying to kind of, you know, ingratiate yourself with them, soliciting your friends to befriend your partner and the similar line, being suspicious of your partner's friends, checking them all out, finding what they're up to, seeing if they've got it in for you or something like that, posting your partner's personal secrets, and of course, top of all, lying about the relationship, claiming it's something it isn't. All very, very easy to do, and no doubt the cause of many a broken relationship. Now, scams. Yes, now, Facebook, as you will see, is a very religious community from the number of OMG scams that there are out there. And this is just a small selection of examples. They're all pretty much the same, and they're all trying to entice people to go and look at something or try something, claiming some of them based originally on some element of truth. I mean, you can look through there. There's not actually a huge amount of point in reading them all. But the outcome is the same with all of these. They sort of prey on your people's sort of morbid curiosity to go and look at something that shouldn't be allowed. In practice, all they do is that they give permission for some rogue program on Facebook to access all of your information and post messages to your profile, and they trick you into doing surveys that earn commission for people. So basically you go on this link that says, I don't know, look what this kid did to his school after being expelled. You say, oh, I must see what this kid did. And you click on it and you have to, first of all, give some application permission to access all your data and all your friends and post messages to your wall and everything. And then you have to do this survey where you answer lots of questions and give your mobile number and your email address and all sorts of information. And somebody somewhere gets, you know, like 50 cents or 50 pence or whatever for somebody having completed this survey. And meanwhile, all your friends get invited to do the same because it's posted all of this information all over your wall. So your friends see it. They see not only that you have been tricked into this, but which is not necessarily a good idea, depending on what the thing is that you've been tricked into. And in the end, you don't actually get to see the thing that you were allegedly going to see anyway. So it's just pure scams. And they're absolutely everywhere, and people get tricked into them all the time, and I don't think I've ever fallen for one. Most of them I'd like to think are reasonably obvious, but I do get a constant flow of some of my friends who've quite obviously managed to accidentally do one of these. So that's kind of a quick run through, really, as much as I could put together in the space of a morning. And I just thought I'm just going to take a bit of a risk here, and I'm just going to have a quick look at my phone and see. I'm just going to have a quick look and see what's happening now and see if anything interesting is happening at the moment that I think you ought to know about it. Right, somebody needs to go home for a rest here, one of my friends. That's 10 o'clock this morning. And she's a Christian as well, so she really ought to be at church. I've also found out quite a lot that Martin Smith, formerly of Delirious, has been looking after all of his 6 children single-handedly over the past 2 days. Okay, I fibbed. I had to break up a major incident over Noah eating all the crunchy nut cornflakes. It was mayhem, minus 1,000 points. Minus an extra 100 for lying in the previous tweet. But at least he's off to church, which is good. This is all, obviously, I have absolutely no idea what is going on. Here, look, somebody here is off to church. Isn't that good? Somebody, some of you might know, so I won't mention the name. What else have we got here? My top words of 2010. Here we go. Jesus Christ is a special page on Facebook dedicated to offering praise and adoration to our Saviour. Which is good. Leviticus 21 here. This seems to be today's text. One could murder a sausage sandwich. That's a post from the Queen. It's actually not the Queen. It's actually somebody pretending to be the Queen. This is the thing, you see. Anybody can claim to be anybody they like. And there are lots of these joke profiles, particularly on Twitter, which are set up as parodies of people. like the Queen, the Prime Minister, and so on. I won't read that one because that's somebody you know, and she's not here. But the very top one here, still a lot of scams spreading on Facebook, posing as apps to let you see who's been viewing your profile. Beware, which is roughly what I just said. But I could go on for hours, but I won't. Dave, over to you.
Really, all it is our behaviour. We don't want to. We want to think about what we're putting on Facebook. Think about our behaviour. Think about what we're saying. Just as those scenarios I said earlier about the real world, you know, the real world. What we're putting on Facebook, people are looking at, and we are portraying something of ourselves. And that's all I'm going to say, really. I can read Peter. I'll read just 1 Peter to you to finish with. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Lord of Lords stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. And I leave it with that. And as I started, do we come to church as a social club or something like that? No, we are born into his family and we represent the name of Jesus. And I leave you with that thought. And I'll just pray and then we finish. Father, I just thank you that you have saved us. And help us to represent you. Help us to be aware of you, not just in church, but in our daily lives. Help us to live for you. And for your name's sake, in Jesus' name, amen.